I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. What a great day it is to be serving the Lord. And it is a good life to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. I'm excited today to be with you and sharing with you the Word of God. And we're looking right now through the book of Romans, and we're in Romans chapter 6. Last time we left off, Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, and I want to recap that right now just a little bit. Paul begins there in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 by saying, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Remember, we studied in chapter 5, and Paul ended that chapter by saying that that sin abounded. But he also added that where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. And now he says, "Then what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" And his answer, of course, in verse 2 says, "God forbid." No. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And as we continue on looking at this verse in verse 2, Paul asks the question, how shall we continue? And in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, it says, "Who his own self bare our sins," this is Jesus, "in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Now in verse 3 and the first part of verse 4, it says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death." Now, we are identified with Christ in his death by baptism. Now, the references to baptism in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5 here, clearly imply immersion, as no other mode would or could portray the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And likewise, immersion also portrays the death of the believer to his old nature. Now, let me quickly add that baptism by water does not save anyone. Baptism, remember, Jesus is already speaking to people who are already saved here. Paul is speaking to these people who have trusted Jesus as Savior. They're already saved. So he's saying that we are identified with Christ. We're letting the world know that we have been saved, that just as Jesus Christ was killed, he was hung on that cross, he died, he was buried, and he rose. And just as he did that, we're identifying ourselves with that death, burial, and resurrection. And the way we do that is going down into the water and coming up out of that water. And nowhere in the scriptures does it tell us that when a person gets baptized, I don't care what someone tries to tell you, the scriptures do not bear this out, that a person is saved by baptism. Nowhere in the scripture does it say that. And Paul's not trying to tell us here that a person is saved by baptism. Remember, he's speaking to saved people. He's writing this to the church at Rome. Now look with me in verse 4, the remainder of this section of Scripture, and we'll go through verse 7 here. It says that, "Like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death," there's that baptism again, see, "if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin." When we go down into the baptismal waters, what we're doing, we're identifying ourselves with Christ, with his death, burial, and resurrection, and we're telling the world that we have died to sin. Now, we should walk in newness of life. And having been united together in the likeness of his death and resurrection, we are to recognize that we've been crucified with Him, telling the world this, and no longer slaves of sin, but freed from sin. Colossians chapter 3, verses 3 through 9, say this, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds." We have been saved. We have been raised with Christ from the dead. Just in God's sight, we are in Christ. And just as Christ gave His life for us, God sees us in the life of Christ. We are no longer our own at this point. And we'll see that more as we get over into the book of Romans here. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, Paul says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." See, he's carrying on this idea of not living for sin any longer, but living unto Jesus Christ, presenting our bodies living sacrifices, and which is our reasonable service. And we do that by trusting fully in Jesus to take care of us. We've already been saved according to the Scriptures when we ask Jesus into our heart. And therefore, we're able to present our bodies living sacrifices, which is reasonable, which is our reasonable service unto God. Now, I want you to notice something else here in Romans chapter 6 and verse 7. We've already read that a dead person is set free from sin. When we recognize ourselves to be dead indeed into sin, or dead with Christ, then we're freed from sin. That doesn't mean that a person cannot sin. I'm talking about this body. As long as we're in this body, we have a problem. That's the reason this body is going to die. The Bible tells us that this body is going to be changed. And when it is changed, we're going to be fashioned like our Lord. And the body, the new body that we receive, that new body will not sin. But I'll have you to know this, that this real person, myself and you, if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, the real you cannot sin, because that is what goes to heaven. This body's not going to go to heaven. And Paul's, once again, he's talking us through the book of Romans. He's telling these people in the church at Rome there, the Christian church, that we are not, that they are not to live in sin, not to look for sin, not to try to sin, not to give in to sin, but do what God wants them to do and live unto Him, that sin would not reign or have control over that body. But we know that we have problems in this life, and one day, thank God, this life will be over and we will be with the Lord forever. And we don't have to worry about the sin problem anymore, because it will be taken care of completely for us as children of God. Now look with me in verses 8 through 14 of Romans chapter 6. Paul continues his idea about being dead with Christ. He says, "Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." And these verses are telling me in the beginning here that having died with Christ, we will live with Him, according to Romans chapter 6 and verse 8. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 10 says, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. 2 Timothy 2:11 says, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. And that's a promise to us from our Heavenly Father, from Jesus who gave his life for us, our Savior. Now, Newell writes this. Newell was a great preacher. He was a great man of God. When I say great, he was simply a human being, but God used him greatly in the work. And he says, this word shall also be living with him, means finally, or include doubtless, the consummation of our salvation at the coming of Christ. And that's what I mentioned a few minutes ago. And the fashioning anew of our mortal bodies. But the word refers directly to that expressed by Paul, he says, in Galatians 2:20, and where Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. When Jesus comes back for us, whether we meet him in the air, at the rapture of the church, whether we're alive and meet him in the air, or whether we've gone on, whether these bodies are in the ground or whatever's taken place, whether we've died, this physical death, Jesus says that one day sin is going to be eradicated completely from this ourselves. And until then, we are to submit unto God. We are to give ourselves wholly over to the Lord, to let him fashion us, to let him help us to realize that we have been crucified with Christ, but nevertheless we live yet, not myself, but Christ liveth in me. Christ is all in all. And I wonder today, have you trusted him as your Savior? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you've never trusted him, ask him to come into your heart right now. And if you have been saved, you need to realize that God wants to use you. I don't care who you are, how old you are, how young you are, God wants to use you for his honor and glory. That is, if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior. Thank you for being with me today, and it's a real joy each time that I'm able to share with you the Word of God, and I want to be able to share that Word with you even during the week, when you don't tune into this broadcast. You can go to the website lrwm.org, and you can listen to this message again and other messages of It's a Good Life, and you can download transcripts there. You can get Bible study helps, and you can hear preaching on the website as well. And let me invite you to go there, lrwm.org. You can write to me, Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Write to me and I'll be glad to send you a transcript of this program and other programs of It's a Good Life. Well, until the next time, when you hear me say, It is a Good Life, I'll be praying for you. And you say, well, you don't even know me. Yes, I do. God knows you. And I know you listen to this program, and I pray for you. I may not know you by name, but I pray for you that God would continue to bless, and that if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, that you would ask him to come into your heart. May the Lord bless you richly is my prayer.
Living for the Lord.